discussed yesterday the status of Amr and Moyev after Moshe Rabbeinu captured them from Sichon. Son, the Tzitz Eliezer, one of the later volumes in Chelek, Chelek Yedalad, he says that that's the machlokes between the Yoreh Sameach and Yeshuas Malkoi. He says the Meshech Chochma and Parshas Ekev takes it for granted that once Moshe Rabbeinu captured them, then they didn't have a chiyuv mitzvah to Yisvaretz, but they had the status of Eretz Yisrael. And the raya that he brings apparently is that the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael in order to be mekayim some mitzvahs, ki lechol mi piryo v'lespoya mi tuva, elekayim mitzvah. So the Arsameach says, but the mitzvah of each of Eretz Yisrael was mekayim already. Otherwise, that would have been the answer. It would have answered mekayim mitzvah each of Eretz Yisrael. So he assumes that Amun and Moav Shatir B'Sichon had the status of each of Eretz Yisrael, but not the chiyuv mitzvahs. And he says that there's a tshuva, the tshuva smalkai, he doesn't quote it by Arichos, of Shumi Kotna, that assumes that it only picks up the status of Eretz Yisrael after Leachar Kibush V'chiluk. And then a later tshuva, in Chelek Tesvav, he says that the Chassam Sofer says that this Nakuda is a Machlegis Rashi Ramban. Why is that? Because all the way back in Breishis, when Yaakov Avinu before he sends Malachim to Esav, so it says that he came to a place and he called the Machanayim, because he saw the Malachim very soon, the Malachim Chutzlars coming together. So the so Ramban points out, what were the Malachim very soon doing there? He was he just crossed with Nachal Yabok. He was already, he hadn't even gone through what we call Amun Amoyev. So what were the Malach Eretz Yisrael doing there? So Chassam Sefer says that this is the machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban. According to Rashi, so this, since Yaakov Avinu was there already, and since it will ultimately become part of the Havtoch of Yaakov Avinu, so it had some mile of Eretz Yisrael. But according to Ramban, it had no mile of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, yeah. What was that? Yeah, and Achalam. Yeah. The Chasm Sefer is good. So today we're going to do some Halacha L'Maaseh. So we'll begin with not Halacha L'Maaseh, because these are Inyanei Eretz Yisrael. And we'll discuss today the status of Eilat and the status of the southern and northern Arava issues that are, I think, are still are open issues in Israel. I believe Vishah Tomu was a machlokes between Shlomo Zalman and Rebbe Yoshev. I think Shlomo Zalman held that the area of Eilat in the southern the Arava was all Sofek, whether it had Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, whether it was part of the part of Oile Mitzrayim, right? And therefore it would have the din of Sofek, whether it was an Iser Avoda there. Nevertheless, so that was a machlokes which apparently was a very sharp machlokes between Shlomo Zalman and Yosh. Apparently, the Chazanish. Sorry? Well, come in a moment. And apparently, the Chazanish held that we should treat Eilat and the Arava as Eretz Yisrael, and at least with the Isurei Derabbanan, right? And apparently the Mishnas Yosef, when the Gedolei Yerushalayim, he held very strongly in Rosh Shlomo Zalman's group. So I don't have access to the full discussion. But given that background, so let's quote some of the psakim that came from the Beis Medrash of Shlomo Aviv Yoshev, and then use that just to see our the sugyas we've been discussing the last few days. La halacha l'maisa. So it's quoted by Shem Yoshev that Shviyas Neheges L'chol Dinah B'Yivul HaGodel B'Toch Gvulus Eretz Yisrael, that Shviyas is now with all produce that is grown in Eretz Yisrael, in the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Binyan Gvul HaDerom, with respect to the southern border, Kosha L'Achriya Heichon Hua Gvul. It's hard to figure out where is the Gvul. U'mikeivon Shemarana Chazanish Kova. And the Chazanish said that we should not be mitzaref that suffix lekul on shviyas. So therefore, if shar lakel li tol mi shidchi arava tzvoniim, one should not take produce from the northern arava, that's south of Yam HaMelech, ubeizora samuch leilat, and the area that's close to Eilat, the southern arava, and even a little bit north of Eilat, eino bechlal sofek Eretz Yisrael. He says it's not considered to be sofek Eretz Yisrael. That means that lemaisa, it's going to be the same din. All right. Then Rabbi Yoshi refers to, which I don't know how to. It's going to be the same din. No, he's going to say beizra somach leilat, right? V'af tzufonu mat mizeh. Eino bechlal sofek Eretz Yisrael, right? So that will be, so it'll be mekel around Eilat, all right? Ulamaisa, all right. Then he distinguishes between the 30 degrees, which I don't know exactly what that is, obviously, and. And he says, but even the produce which comes from the southern Arava is mikol mokom yibul nachrim odif. He prefers if you take, even though we hold this mutter, yibul nachrim, we prefer if you take non-Jewish produce. All right. Then he says one should not plant anything in the northern Arava. All right. Then he discusses the northern Arava will be machmer even blios. Peiros se'ilan shegolu barvav hadromis. The fruit that is grown in the southern Arava yeshla asrom below bracha. Why don't you take maizes below bracha? Ulam yirakosh etzom chusham b'ter mimaizem. But a drabonon and yirakos he was making. Yeshli zar. Milikitas Yirokos Baravad Ramis Bi Isruchag Shari Onu Poskim Shizu Sofik Chutzlars Vachol Dini Chutzlars Naigim Shom Lachumra Ubechlal Ze Yom Tim Shane. That's Rabbi Yoshev's of the opinions and discussion amongst the Poskim. Rabbi Ziel and Waldenberg, the many, many Chuvas, about whether a light if to keep Yom Tim Shane Shogolias. So that's a little bit of a different machlaikas. Say again, so Yoshua's mahalach is that the northern Arava, we should assume mamish carries halach lamais carries Yisrael, that the southern Arava, Eilat, one can view as not having kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and as an aside, that there's a chumra of Yom Tov Sheni in Eilat. That's a little bit of a different machlok. It's a machlok Rambam and Ritva. Right? The Rambam holds that the determining factor of whether one keeps Yom Tov Sheni is whether the Shlichim got to that place or not. And if Shlichim got to that place, then one kept one day Yom Tov. If they didn't get to that place, then one kept 2 days Yom Tov. And presumably, if there wasn't a yishuv there, so that means the shlichim did not go there. So then that would also keep Yom Tov Sheni.
Even though they could have gone there. I mean, the whole point is
right. That's a deek in the Rambam.
And
the Ritva says, forget, the Ritva says that the Takonas Chazal was in Eretz Yisrael when has Yom Tov only 1 day Yom Tov, and Chutz Laretz 2 days Yom Tov. And the Ritva points out the ones Chazal made their din, they made it for all of Eretz Yisrael. So that's a separate issue. the issue of whether a lot has 2 days Yom Tov or not is a machlekes Rama Ritva, and then it's further a machlekes as to whether Ritva would call upon the Eretz Yisrael. But that, we're not going to discuss it now. It takes us far afield. But I want to point out is the discussion about a lot itself. So whereas,
sorry, according to the Rambam, it would be considered you keep one day because there was a yeshiva there, or there wasn't a yeshiva there.
You should be out with another shot, right?
According to Rambam, it would be it would keep 2 days.
There's no yeshiva.
That's what we'll discuss.
Ritva, also, when like,
you should be out with another shot.
No, no, no. According to Ritva, it's part of it's. It, according to Ritva, it may be part of Eretz Yisrael.
What
was that? The issue amongst the poskim is that it comes down to machlokes Ritva and Rambam, right? Now according to Rambam, the impression we have is that Bizman Bayis Sheni, there was nothing doing it a lot. So Bizman Bayis Sheni, the shlichim never got there. So Bizman Bayis Sheni, the Rambam would say that a lot, that if a Jew came to a lot, he would keep doing his Yom Tov. Shlichim never got there. Right? On the other hand, the Ritva says that that all of Eretz Yisrael, so then it becomes a Sofek, is a lot part of Eretz Yisrael or not. Right? So that's the discussion. It seems the Mahalacha Poskim is Waldenberg, and I think the Ramuziel, is that a lot is part of Eretz Yisrael, and there's even a question, maybe there was a yeshiv there. So that's why, again, halacha l'maisa, I'm not sure what the general approach is, but I don't see why we should get involved. It's not a rinyaj. I just wanted to show kvi marchik lechas the position of Rebbe Yoshe. Ad kenei kach, that even that which is grown in the second on Isru Chag, so one should be nizer not to take. All right. Now, but the question of a lot per se, that's discussed amongst the poskim. What is the question of a lot? So the Chumash says, the beginning of Devarim. So we left our brothers in Esav who live, were living in Seir. Miderech ha'arava me'elat u'me'etzin gover. So it seems from Chumash that what we call elat, assumption, we're running with the assumption now that our elat has always been called elat. So running with that assumption, I haven't seen that assumption questioned. So running with that assumption, so it's clear that part of the Arava and part of what we call Eilat is belongs to Seir. Belongs to Esav.
Those two words, Eilat, Meitzin, Gover, refer back to Seir, to Esav, refer to Vanavo.
Vanavo Meitzin Achenu, Vanei Esav, Yeshim B'Seir, right? So either way, either it's Vinavo Miderech, May Elas, so May Tzin Gover.
We
avoided those. We avoided that.
Yeah, but Elas Etzion. Elas. And Etzion Gover, that's part
right.
of Benavo, or that's part of Yoshim
Etzion? I don't think it matters right now. Either way, we're avoiding it.
Okay.
Right? So I don't think.
Okay.
Right? Right. Nevertheless, in the beginning of Melachim, so we find that Shlomo HaMelech seems to have taken Eilat. Why do we say that? Because it says V'ani osa ha-melech shloima ve'etzrin gover asher es elos al tzvas yam suf be'eretz Edom. Right? Shlomo Melech made boats in this place, Etzrin Gover, asher es elos al tzvas yam suf be'eretz Edom. The Radak points out, V'ani osa b'divrei yomim omar Oz halach Shlomo le'etzin gover ve'el elos. But Tzoloimar shaholach ve'lochdo. It says Shlomo Melech went there. So the Radak says, when it says that Shlomo Melech went there, it means he captured them. V'hinei omar ki osa shom aniyah. So this rounds out the story that he captured it and it became his launching place. Alright? So it seems Radak says that Shlomo Melech captured Eilat. Right, then, once again, in Melachim Beis, Lachim Beis says that Uziah built up a lot here. Beis Yeshiv Reitzin Melach Aram is a lot la Aram. Reitzin, the king of Aram, took a lot back to Aram. Vayinashel is Yehudim me'elos, and he chased the Jews out of a lot. The Aramim bo Eilat, and they came into Eilat. VaYeshu Sham Ad Yom Hazeh, and they're still there. All right. So this is an important ha'ara because this shows that the Jews were living there. Right. Why is that important? Because it wasn't. Because it means that when we captured Eilat, we captured it in order to take it over. Now there's another important redak, if you can find it. By Yeshiva, it says by Uziah. When Uziah built a lot, it uses the phrase by Yeshiva. That was Tezayim. It's the third before Yudalin. Yudalin. Who bona? Veikhu kol am Yehuda Sazaria, vehu ben sheshes rishona, veimlichu osu tachas aviv amatzia, Uzi Azaria, he became the king. Who bonos elas, he built a lot, veyeshivel Yehuda, and he brought it back to Yehuda. So Radak says, "Ubedivra yomim es elos viechadu, elos and elas is the same. Voisel melech adom kmo shekosu b'torah me'es achenu b'nei seir me'elas u'me'etzin gover. The same elat that we have in Chumash. V'chein omim ubedivra yomim oz holach shlomo le'etzin gover ve'es elos al svas hayom be'eretz adom." The Evshan is possible. Ki David locha mi melech Edom. Why is that? Because the pasuk says ki moishel hu oyo bechol eretz Edom. Kemosha Omar, as it says, vayosem David beEdom nitzivim, that he set up governors to govern Edom. Ubimei Yoram and Yoshafat posha Edom mitachas Yad Yehuda, and in the days of Yehoram, so Edom rebelled, the Elol Shelokcha David Heshivu Aleihem, and they took back Eilat. V'atok Shemalach Uziah Lokach Eilat Nivelach Adom Va'Yeshiva, and he settled and returned it Yehuda. V'Uziah Bona Osa Acher Sheishiva Yehuda. Kiloi Bona Osa V'hi Biyad Edom Eliyach Shelokcha Miyad Edom. The action is possible. Shener suchon v'yisal kumi, that it was destroyed when they took it over and had to build it again. So the point, the impression we get about Eilat is that it was going backwards and forwards. David and Melech may have taken it. Shlomo Melech for sure. I would say for sure. According to the Radak, he took it, and then it seems that it was taken back. Uziah took it and rebuilt it again, and the last mention of Eilat that we have is that the Jews that were there were thrown out. So now, given that story, what's the status of Eilat? Is Eilat Kibush Yochid? Is Eilat part of Eretz Yisrael?
We want to know when the Jews lived there at all, or when they were living when Nebuchadnezzar came.
So you're still thinking about Yom Tov Sheni? We want to know whether Eilat was part of Eilat Mitzrayim. Kiddush Rishona.
What's the latest?
As far as Kiddush Shni is, I believe the general question is that we did not have Eilat during Bayis Sheni.
Now that
also was discussed, because there is, that's what Rabbi Zeal pointed out, that he did find some mention. There is a Gemara that discusses Yerushalayim sending some message down south. So Rav Zeal, based on records from the Gaonim, thought that not that referring to Eilat. But then again, why get off course? Who's that? Erechav, yeah, good. Good. So that's the Nakuda, right? That's goof of the Nakuda, right? Right? That's what we have to figure out. All right? Now, again, so what we point out here is the following. This gives us a chance to, again, to look at the sugyas we've been looking at the last few days. Right? Was there Kedusha Rishona for Eilat? All right? Kedusha Shni is a much more difficult issue. And the general assumption is that there was no, that was the Kedusha Shni. The general assumption is that it was, that if Eilat has Kedusha, it's Mitam Oile Mitzrayim. All right? And that's what we were pointing out before, that so now coming to Kedusha Rishona. So it is Eilat. You know, the Gemara, our Mishnah says there are three Arotzes. So our Mishnah says that that Kol Ma Shehziko Early Bavel Kedusha Shniya is one din. Kol Ma Shehziko Early Mitzrayim not Early Bavel. So that is the din of Enin Nebed V'Nechel. So now is Eilat part of that or not, or is Eilat part of the third, that it's it was Michutz Laretz? Okay. So what's the deal? So Chumash seems to say that Eilat is part of Eretz Edom. Good. However, the Navi, okay. Now the Navi says that Eilat was taken over by Shlomo and then by Uziah. Okay. Now, apparently, I haven't been able to track. Apparently, if not tracked this down, there are poskim who say that these rice are not strong rice. There's a redak, all right, the tamalvim. But read the navi. It says that Shlomo Melech built a boat there. It says Shlomo Melech went there. It says Uziah built it. But I guess you could thread all these ideas and say, but did we ever rule over Eilat? Was it ever in our hands? Maybe there are many Jews who went, they liked the beaches. So there were a lot of Jews there, so they went to Chutz Laretz in order to enjoy the beaches, right? Who said that we ever took it over? It's really the Radak who's Medayik, that Vayelech Shom doesn't mean Shalach went there. What did Shalach went there? He went there to see how to build boats. No, it means he went to Betkifus. He took it over. So it's really the Radak. And other posts can string together. It's not a Radak. It's also a Ralbag. And another Makor. But that's the Al-Do'oka. And what I believe that one of the issues is how to learn Pshat in Navi. Right. However, now once we say, once we follow the Radak and the Ralbag, and that's the Mahalach of Rav Oldenburg, very, very much so, and I believe that that was the Mahalach of the Talmidim of Rav Yoshev, on which Rav Yoshev's positions are based. I get that impression that there was a, that it was very much part of a sort of a base of Medrash when they were working these things out. So, given that, right, given that, so our question is, based on the sugyas we learned, so how do we evaluate the kibush of Shlomo HaMelech, maybe the kibush of David HaMelech? All right? So the, so how can we evaluate it? Lou, what would you... whether this kibush, we're essentially asking, is it kibush rabim or kibush yachid? Right? If it's kibush rabim, then it should be part of, becomes part of Eilam Mitzrayim, becomes part of kibush Yeshua. If it's kibush yachid, becomes part of Syria. All right? So the three possibilities. One is that we are that we shouldn't be passing based on redox and robots. That's one model, right? Then there's another, and that would mean, that would yield that a lot made in Eretz Yisrael. Certainly a Sofik. We don't know where the border went. And that would end up yielding, I don't know, I can't say for sure, because I don't have a Shlomo Zalman B'chsav. I wasn't able to find it. But the but that would yield well, Shlomo Zalman and the Mishnas Yosef to say that a lot's not yet part of Eretz Yisrael, not yet Kibush Yisrael. Good. Or a Sofik. Sofik, we don't know exactly where the border is even. Fine. If you say that it's Kibush Yochid, which I don't know anybody who says that, so then it would should have been of Syria. So then I haven't found it. Right? Ela, we should say, maybe it's Kibush Rabbim. On what basis should be Kibush Rabbim? Was that?
There's a Rosh Sirlio.
Yeah.
In Parashishi.
Yeah.
It's Mashma. Had it been that the Olim Mitzrayim were Kovish, all of the areas of the Hashmonaim conquered by
yeah,
Sheni,
right,
it would be Kibush Ali Bata.
Right.
In other words,
it would be Kibush.
And then the Hashmonaim got it afterwards. It would have a halacha of Kibush Ali Bata. Even though the Hashmonaim even the Hashmonaim were well after Aliyas
Ezra. Right.
Smash from that, the Kibush can continue.
Right.
Even after the original Aliyah or conquest.
Why do you say that's, we're saying it's good, but you can say
it's
better.
Right.
Yeah. With the fair of Kibush. Right.
Right.
Right. No, you're saying it's good, but you say it may sharper. The right. What's Shun Kibush Yachar?
The problem is the phrase the elusive.
Right.
And they were showing, they got them right.
What's the usage of the Sifrei? There was a Keseder. If you limp Shat and Kibush Yachar. If you limp Shat and Kibush Yachar, like Rashi and Gitan, that it was the Tzarcha, whatever that means. So then, it would seem this was not Litzarchai, this was so Klal Yisrael would settle there. Because that was the Raya that they're thrown out of there. If you say, the way the most post comes like the Rambam, so the Kibush Yachid, the flaw of Kibush Yachid was it was like a Seder. But L'chayra, this is Keseder. Why would this be Keseder? Because if we say, because the assumption, I think, the Rambam understands that Surya was not part of the lands, certainly not part of the land that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to conquer. Right? Could even be that according to Rambam, certainly according to Ramban, Suri is not part of the lands that even Avraham Avinu was promised to have. So it has the din of chutzlars. So in Mela, the din is, as the Sefer says, first you have to do Traklim Shel Melech before you go. However, if what we're saying, okay, here's on thin ice over here. If we say that Eretz Edom is part of the Havtocha to Avraham Avinu, right? If we say that, which Rav Valmerich assumes to be a Dover Pasha, was that? Yeah, that's very also a little bit concerned about that. So then he says, if that's the case, So then the kibush of Shlomo and of maybe of David and of Uziah was certainly a kibush of Trachten Shel Melech. See, he doesn't spell that out. Pashas of the coin of the Sifrei is the other way around. It's for Karat. Right? Pashas of the Sifrei says that the Komosh of the Rachel is to show you that you can even go beyond. Right? But he assumes that Eretz Edom is part of the Nachla of Aramavinu. So I would assume what he's saying is, he doesn't spell it out, but I assume what he's saying is that we pointed out last week that the Nachla of Esav and the Nachla of Lavan is the Nachla of Avinu, and Esav only gets Harseir at the end. So anything which Esav has except for Harseir is really part of the Nachla of Avinu. In other words, the question of the Ramban of whether Ammon and Moab and Edom were given away entirely. So he's assuming that, not like the Ramban, that Ammon and Moab and Seir and Edom are part of Avraham Avinu's Haftacha. Elamai, like the Rambam says, that we have a Hayroh Shah, we cannot take Ammon and Moab right now. Elamai, Esom will get Harseir, but anything outside of Harseir, we're going to get. I assume that he got this conclusion because he begins with the assumption that this is that this is part of the Haftacha. Given that, right? So then the kibush of Shlomo HaMelech and of David would be kibush Rabbim. Right? Now, part of the indications that he has that that's correct is that it's never mentioned as part of Suri. Because when the Rambam discusses and defines Surya, so it seems that from the Lashon of Rambam that Surya is a unique situation. And the Rambam has before he describes Surya, he describes any land that the Malachim will take, Ukiyotze Be'elu. So since he sees that Kiyotze Be'elu was only said, Lagabe Surya, So he has to be unique. Memela, which Shlomo Melech and David Melech conquer, has to be a non-Surya, and therefore has to be part of the Haftach.
Why was it come out to the Haftach?
I'm sorry?
I was confused. Why was it come out to whether Messiah wasn't part of the Haftach?
Yeah.
So long as Shlomo Melech conquered all of Eretz Yisrael and Gula Seha before he went to Eilat,
right.
There's no Chisar Kibush Echad, correct? Are we assuming he didn't conquer all of Eretz Yisrael and Gula Seha before?
So how the
Lashon Rambam is So what were we missing from Eretz Yisrael and Gula Seha before getting Eilat?
Right.
Were we missing things from Eretz Yisrael? Were we?
I don't know how you're gonna determine that. I don't know if it's true though, because we know that Shlomo Melech conquered more than David. It's good for Shlomo Melech. Yeah. So we have to say it's B'Sha'as Kibush. We have to say that the B'Sha'as Kibush determines, because otherwise Syria should have picked up its Kedusha B'Sha'as Shlomo Melech. They have to say it's B'Sha'as Kibush. So that's a chiddush. That's a chiddush of the Moruk Tziyah, right? So I'll come to that now. So again, so coming to this Nakuda, I think what Sam is saying is correct. I'm reporting to you what Rav Waldman writes it. But I think what you're saying is correct. The he quotes a Mishnah Melech in the Parshas Drachim that says that that kibush, that is not like the Rambam, that says the kibush yochid is only if it's not part of the avtochas of the Ovis. In other words, the kibush yochid, not like the Sifrei says. So he quotes the Mishnah Melech, it says that three sheets of kibush yochid: Rashi Lutzoynei, Rambam Shleika Seder, and Mishnah Melech, that it's not part of, it's part of the din of kol but not part of Eretz Yisrael. So it could be that he wants to be nizer of this Mishnah Melech, right? Because he writes Ve'latamei me'edom he shereiachas misholah sherotzah shenichus aleim bris avram. So maybe that's why he wants to be why he insists on making that ha'ora to be yotze the sheet of the Mishnah Melech. I'm not sure. But again, so what are we pointing out? We're pointing out that a lat lechora is a machlekes a poskim, and whether it's part of Oile Mitzrayim, right? So with Rav Yoshev now in the other extreme on a lat, and as Rav Yoshev, when it comes to the Arava, so Rav Yoshev holds that northern Arava is certainly part of Eretz Yisrael, and I believe Shlomo Zalman is chalek in that. When it comes to the southern of the Arava, so there Rav Yoshev says, it's not part of Eretz Yisrael, not a lot, doesn't have kedushas Eretz Yisrael, not part of Oile Mitzrayim, and I also, I'm not clear whether that's really Rav Yoshev's position, because I found between this sefer and Rav Moshe Karp's sefer different indications, and I believe that Rav Karp, I believe that he holds that a lot is part of Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Karp seems to indicate that Yoshev's positions were formulated based on discussions which Rav Karp had in some other Talmud Chacham in front of Rav Yoshev. So I'm not sure whether it's Rav Yoshev's position. It's not in the gear for us right now. We just have to want to get the shita straight. So when it comes to Eilat, it would seem that you have this machloikas again mikotza lakotza, with Rav Waldenbring saying that Eilat is certainly part of Eretz Yisrael, has the Kedusha of Oile Mitzrayim, and I believe the Mishnah Yosef saying not at all, and I believe the Machlekes centers on how seriously to take this development of the Radak and the Ralbag on these, and what was the history of Eilat, whether in fact was captured, and whether the fact that we were thrown out of Eilat indicates that we were there actually in Israel. Rav Waldenbring then writes that as he was perusing the Svarim, his interesting lashon, he says ubechavsi b'zeas b'svarim miyoyis ha'inyan chodosh, because these are new issues. So he says they came across a morok tzia, the morok tzia in Arachaim Simon Shin Vav discusses whether Edom has kedushas Eretz Yisrael or not, and he says at first he says that why should Edom be any have a better position than Syria? In other words, we know that David HaMelech ruled over parts of Edom. We know that David HaMelech established parts of Edom al yedei nitzivim. In other words, it sounds like that what that means is that he made them pay a certain tax. He had governors collect a tax. Apparently, it's certain authority over Edom, but he never threw out the Edomites out of Edom, right? And that's what our Yerushalmi says, that you know when you set up Netzivim, that's already called Kibush. That's one of the Chidushim of our Yerushalmi, and that's the point that L'chol, that's in the Kuda. So at first he says, well, since David HaMelech did this, and we have no way of knowing whether he did this before he got rid of the Yevusi or not, so why should it be any worse than Syria? Amalachakach mistapek. He says, no, maybe it should have the din of maybe should not have the din of Syria Bachlal. Why? Because we don't find, he says, when it comes to Syria, we assume that David HaMelech settled Syria. But when it comes to Edom, we don't find that he settled it. Kol pam shenilka de Edom, lo yirishu yoshvel mimena, rakechniyom lahalos mas lamalcha Yisrael, velo yeshivu amalochem es Yisrael tachtom, al kein vaday le yegiya klal lamalas eretz Yisrael gemura. Right? Now, exactly what did he do with our sugya? So the Achronim then discuss what will the Merkzi do with the Yishalmi that says that being Mala Mabed Netziv and Mala Mas, so that is a form of Kibush. So that's with different suggestions come up amongst the more recent Svarim. Rav Waldenberg quotes the Morok Tziya because he wants to strengthen his position on Eilat. Because since he says, what was the problem with Edom? Because we did not rid Edom of its inhabitants. But Lu Yitzur, he would have settled Edom. So then the Morok Tziya would say that may have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, depending on the Seder Advarim. So Rav Waldenberg says, but now that I know from the Pasuk that Aram exiled the Jews, that means that when we took over Edom, we settled Jews there. We didn't just collect taxes there. This is a marina for Shlomo Melech's boats. So Memela, and that was done by Shlomo Melech. So that was done after David and Melech gave it to the Yavusi. So he says that the aura of the Morok Tzi would seem to indicate another raya that Eilat, in fact, should have the status of Eretz Yisrael. But then he quoted, there's a fascinating discussion amongst the more recent Svarim. Again, going back to the time of the Morok Tziya, where the Morok Tziya seems to say that if we lost part of Eretz Yisrael before the Golius of Eretz Yisrael, so then that kibush is not a good kibush. Let the Echraim jump on it. All right, again, so the Shita is that if a kibush which is not endured till Golos is not a kibush. So in other words, say Eilat, we were thrown out of Eilat, but that wasn't a Golos. That wasn't even Sancheiriv. It wasn't even the Golos of the Yisrael Shvat. It wasn't a Golos that we know was in the Nevuah. So a Golos Yachid, yeah. So the Morok Tziya says that that kibush is not a kibush which is Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael. So the later Svarim, they jump on this Morok Tziya. This is how we don't understand it, because it sounds like that every kibush only becomes determined to be a kibush retroactively b'shas Golos. So how could you say such a thing? How could you say that you only know b'shas Golos whether the original kibush was a good kibush or not? So I find it a very, very difficult. The Morok Tziya is probably saying something along the lines of how strong was the yishuv. In other words, was it a yishuv that al pi derech hateva could endure? Maybe that's what it means. Maybe it wasn't a contiguous. I'm speculating. That's what it means. That he holds that a kibush is not betzachidush, right? So again, so let's just a sikum advarim. So we pointed out today is that there's a machlokes about the Arava. Good. Then we pointed out today, and a lot of that has to do with understanding where the southern border of Eretz Yisrael is, and it's very, at least that, very hard to figure out. It's very hard to just to get into the sugya. You have to. It's a different discipline to understand the where the border was. It's the discipline of history and of geography and of Navi. So it's just a different. So there are forms to discuss it, and it has to rely on mumchus and their mumchus. So what we try to zero in on is, without getting involved in the discussion of exactly where the border is, to point out the discussion about Eilat per se. Is Eilat per se part of Eretz Yisrael? So we pointed out that there are three shitas, and then we pointed out that the shita of Rav Waldenberg is to base himself on the Radak and the Ralbag. And then that, for our purposes, now raises the question. We have a kibush yachid shel shlomo melech, a yachid in quotation marks, right? A kibush of shlomo melech, and that forces us to evaluate several things. Number one, that the kibush of Yeshua was not limited to Yeshua. Oile Bavel doesn't mean Oile Yerushalayim does not mean Oile Yerushalayim per se. It means any time until the Golus, and he had to bring rayas for that. The best raya is the flaw of Kibush Yachid. The Eilat forces us to also evaluate how you understand Kibush Yachid. Rashi Liritzoyne, Rambam Shleika Seder, or the Parshas Terachim, that whether it's part of the Avtocha to Avram Sigan Yaakov. Eilat forces us to discuss whether Edom is part of the Avtocha to the Oves. So the various shitas regarding Edom, regarding Eilat, will depend, number one, in terms of Yom Tov Sheni, that's a question really Oilei Bavel. Not really our question. Our question right now is we're assuming that Oilei Bavel did not get to Eilat. That's an assumption. Again, assumption which Rav Uziel questioned. But the assuming that Oilei Bavel did not get there, is was it even part of Oilei Mitzrayim? So the question is, did Shlomo Melech get there? We know he got there. Did he get there with Kifus? Did he get the B'teres Kibush? If he got the B'teres Kibush, so then we would say that if we are assuming that it's part of the Avtocha to the Yoveis, right, which is not necessary according to Rambam, and if we have every reason to assume that it was a Kibush Keseder, because after Davin HaMelech, that was the only time when Klal Yisrael had all of Eretz Yisrael, so then that would indicate that Eilat is part of Eretz Yisrael and have all the Chumras of Shemitah. As opposed to Rav Yosher's Mahalach, that there were several, it is Mokim L'Hokim. And it may also be against Rav Shlomo Zalman, if I understood his position correctly. Good, on a route, so we picked up an interesting Moro Ktsia that discusses whether Edom, whether David HaMelech's governance over Edom, did that give it any Kiddush or not? And the assumption is that it did not give it Kiddush. And Tzarechian, why being Mabed Nitzivan and collecting Mas is not good enough based on our Yerushalmi. But again, there are a lot of things you could speculate. You could speculate, like the Marokziah says, that it wasn't the Yishuv. You could that would make it sound like the Rashi, it was the Ritzoyne, it was the Ritzoyne. It was the Tzarechai, not the Tzarechai Eretz Yisrael. You could speculate that the different kinds of mass. There's a mass where you just pay money, and there's a mass where you work. The different possibilities as to how one would interpret that. Let's just to go a little bit further for a few minutes in the Hakdama of Rav Kook to the Shabbos Haaretz. In terms of the Hashkof of Shemitah, so you know there's Hashkofas about Bitochen and the Gevura of individuals, Gibari Koyach, Oisei Ritzoinai. Rav Kook develops an idea that relates to his understanding of Shemitah, the way he begins to present it, is that there are qualities of Klal Yisrael that are genetically part of Klal Yisrael. They're qualities of Klal Yisrael that are embedded into the Metzius of Klal Yisrael. Qualities of seeking spirituality and wanting to live life on a spiritual level. Rav Kook writes that Loibitzit Kosa V'yoshu Levava Bo El Ma'alosa. These qualities are not qualities that we have had to work on. These are embedded, Klish Baruch Hu embedded them within us. However, the obligations and the requirements of routine life, so they dim the natural qualities of Klal Yisrael to seek greater ruchnius. And just as an individual needs a Shabbos in order to have the yishuv and das, which allows the ruchnius aspiration of the individual, whether acquired or whether innate, so too Klal Yisrael needs a rest from the the ongoing requirements of working the natural world, in order that the naturally embedded qualities of seeking ruchnias come to the fore. So, again, these are ideas which I believe in this particular tkufa, whether it's just we see it more, or whether it's part of hachana for Shvita year. So we saw, as we mentioned last week, this what Rav Kook speaks about the neshama of Klal Yisrael and a naturally embedded quality in Klal Yisrael. So we saw that come to the fore. We saw it come to the fore 2 weeks ago, Beis Tzara, that the fullness of Klal Yisrael, and to an extent we see it now as well, that Klal Yisrael has many, many groups that are politically and philosophically on the left, and they're very quiet right now. They're surprisingly quiet right now. And apparently the tzara of losing the three young men, so that apparently galvanized Klal Yisrael. You know, of Cook's terms, it brought a certain natural quality of Klal Yisrael to the fore. And as we mentioned last week, that in any Shas Melchama, so qualities that are of supreme importance to the nation come to the fore. And that's how Rav Kook explains the Maimer Chazal, that Melchama always advances the world to Yemaisa Mashiach. Which is because a Melchama, not that he in any way advocates Melchama, but the fact of Melchama is that people go to Melchama usually out of goals that are definitive of their people. Sometimes the goals are not praiseworthy. There's more land, just more control. But sometimes the goals are quality goals, or goals of ruchnius. So that I mentioned last week, that the initial impetus for, hopefully it won't be a Muhammad, but a Muhammad that is gathering steam right now, is a Muhammad for Isha Vidas. A Muhammad be able to Muhammad obviously to save as many lives as possible, because as armed as Hamas is, that has a greater and greater danger for Klal Yisrael. But the more that I read, it's a Muhammad for Isha Vidas. In fact, there are those who say that it'll be that one of the reasons why Israel is not advancing wants to hold off as long as possible in advancing an all-out battle or a grand war, not only because of the casualties, that which is a reason in of itself obviously, but because there's a futility to the battle, because they're not going to decide to stay, to settle Gaza again. So if that's not going to be the decision, it means that there's a certain futility, because ultimately until things dramatically change, we're not going to gain control. So, but we gain years and years of Yishuv Adas. That's the one of the goals. So what I'm pointing out is that Yishuv Adas for Klal Yisrael is not stomach. I guess he doesn't have to worry. He's not so anxious, not so nervous. Yishuv Adas for Klal Yisrael means that the qualities of Klal Yisrael are able to come to the fore. Yishuv Adas for Klal Yisrael means that the embedded ruchnis of Klal Yisrael is able to become expressed. So it's not stam. Well, we say Yishuv Adas, I have a settled mind, I'm able to think clearly. It means that it's the year of Shemitah. Shemitah is, from Cook's first Torah, is Shemitah is a time when Klal Yisrael as a nation has more Yishuv Adas. They don't have to worry about the things that always cause aggravation and anxiety and worries. And in a year where you have that kind of Yishuv Adas, so then that there's a natural aliyah ruchnius which has to take place for Klal Yisrael. Good.